Amen. Something I want to talk about this afternoon, you can call it preaching, you can call it teaching, it might fall somewhere in between there, but it's an important subject, and something that's lacking in a lot of churches. And if I say churches, obviously that would come down to individuals within those churches, which hopefully, people that go to church, hopefully they're Christians. And something that's lacking in a lot of people today in this world that we're living, because this takes some responsibility to go hand in hand with it, and it's faithfulness. And we're going to talk about that for a little while this afternoon, how that God wants you to be faithful, and God is watching. Does God want souls saved? You know He does. You know He does. But even more than He wants you to win a soul for Him, He wants you to be faithful to Him. Because if you're not faithful to Him, probably your effectiveness on winning other people to Christ is going to be at a minimum. You've got to be faithful to God. And if you're going to be faithful to God, it takes commitment. It takes determination. And there's a lot of different ways that we can be faithful. And we're going to look over into 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in this scripture setting here, it's Paul that wrote this. And believe it or not, Paul, the man of God that he was, the apostle of God that he was, called by God, he was experiencing some difficulties in his ministry with the church at Corinth. There were some things going on. It wasn't going so wonderful for him. And he had some scriptures here that he wrote, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, but right now I'm just going to read verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Some difficulties going on. He was having some a hard time. And if you were going to go by popularity and numbers, it wasn't going so well for Paul at Corinth. It wasn't working out. And people were judging him for what he was doing, but listen to what Paul says in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And that was Paul's response to those people that were being judgmental of him and what was going on in Corinth at the time. And so then the question comes, and Pastor Fraser was talking about it a little bit this morning, and if someone would ask you the question, are you successful today? Most of us would think about, how do you measure success? And if you would ask a person, are you successful? And they would answer that question to you, you would then know what priorities would be in that individual's life. But the world, they measure success, and we were talking about it this morning, by profit, by how much money somebody makes, by how much earthly possession they have, by the prosperity, by all the things that they own, by how famous they are, by how important they are, the position, the job that they have, how high they are in the corporate ladder. A lot of people measure success by that. That's men. But asking and thinking about how do men measure success, but the question is, how does God measure success? How does God measure success? When God looks at you, does God look at you and think to himself, they are a successful Christian? Does he do that with you? Does he do that with me when he looks? So how does God measure success? And so we know from Scripture, and we're going to read the first two scriptures here in a moment of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but God measures success by your faithfulness. By your faithfulness. God doesn't measure your success as a Christian by how many people you win to the Lord. He doesn't measure your success by that. He measures your success by your faithfulness to Him. And so the question today is, how faithful are you to God? Not thinking about anybody else now, about you. How faithful are you to God? Can God count on you? And faithfulness today, it's a virtue, and it's not very much appreciated in the world that we're in today. You could even look at it in the secular setting. Faithfulness on the job. I'm a child of God. I'm representing the King everywhere I go. My boss expects me to be there. This is my schedule. You best be there. You be faithful. God looks at those kinds of things. He wants you to be faithful. And faithfulness is not very much appreciated today. How many marriages are there that there's unfaithfulness in the marriage? It doesn't mean anything to be faithful to each other. They take those vows and it's just words that are spoken because it's the right thing to say at that setting when vows are being exchanged. But a lot of times it doesn't come from the heart. And so why should we remain faithful? Why should you be an individual of your word? You say something, people know that they said it. I know they're going to come through with it. They're going to do it. That has something to do with faithfulness also. And so true success is not measured, okay? It's not measured by what men can see. By what I can see in you, I might look at you and think, you're a pretty successful person. But that is not how true success is measured. In the eyes of the world, I can say they're doing well. They have what would I be going by? By things I could see, the possessions you have, the home that you live in, the job that you have, the friends that you have, the effect that you have on those around you. I would think that, hey, they're a successful person. But success is not measured in those terms. Okay? And how does God measure success? And when Paul was talking here, Paul said, my judge, and we read that in verses 3 and 4, my judge, and I'll break it down for you, Paul told the people, my judge is God. God is the one that judges me. And God is the one that judges us today whether you are successful in this life or not. And how is your Christian experience? Is it successful or not? You have your own thought whether you're successful or not, but it's God that is the judge. And how does God judge us? Now we're going to read the first two verses. This is how God will judge us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the first two verses. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that word stewards, you could put the word slaves in there. It is required in slaves that a man be found faithful. That's how God judges us, is by our faithfulness. By our faithfulness. We are the servants of Christ. And He has given us a message today that we're to carry to the world. He has entrusted within us today the message of salvation to take to this world. If the world is going to hear about Jesus, it's because of what you do about it. Oh no, it's what this one does about it, what that one does about it. But no, you need to look at it in the light and in the thought that if the world's going to hear about Jesus, I have to tell them. Don't think somebody else is going to do it. Everybody thinks that somebody else is going to do it. Nobody's doing it. People aren't getting saved because they're just thinking, you know, that's what everybody else does. But you yourself, are you a faithful messenger of the Word of God? Okay, and then the words here that are used to describe steward, and I already said it, is a slave. One that is a slave. And it's not our culture today. We don't have slaves today. We don't do that. But back in the time that this was written, it was their culture that they would have slaves. And the people understood what Paul was saying. But a steward was a confidential slave. One that could be counted on. We might not like to look at it like this. Maybe you never thought of it in this way. But when Joseph was down in Egypt, in essence, he was a steward to Pharaoh. He was a slave to Pharaoh. What did Pharaoh entrust to Joseph? What did he entrust to him as his slave, as his steward? Everything. All of his possessions. He entrusted everything to him. He knew that he would take care of it. He knew that he could count on him. And it was expected from Pharaoh that Joseph would do a good job of it. And God has entrusted a lot to us today. A lot of responsibility. We say it. We hear it said. But do we really understand when it's being said what it means? We are stewards of God. What does that mean? God has entrusted an awesome responsibility in each and every one of us. And that needs to sink into our hearts today. Not just the pastors, the preacher, the evangelist, those that, you know, are out there in the front seemingly doing a lot for God. God has entrusted a lot within us. We are the stewards of God, and it is a great responsibility, and God expects us to carry that out. He wants us to do His work today. Something just went floating there. Some kind of a note. Okay? But both the slave and the master worked together. We don't like to look at it that way, but I'm a slave of God. But the kind of slave I am, I want to be. I want to be a slave for God. And we work together. We work together. He's not lording over me, standing there with a whip like you may envision, and possibly it did happen back in the day when they had slaves. There may have been some masters that were cruel. They just were unreasonable with those slaves that belonged to them and worked for them. But we are in this relationship with God, and He is our Master. He is our Master. We are redeemed from the Lord. The Lord has redeemed us, and God has saved us. We belong to Him, and He is our Lord, and He is our Master. And He redeemed us with His blood, and done all that He's done for us. And what does He expect from us in return? That we be faithful. Now, if Joseph, when he was down there in Egypt, if he wouldn't have done things the proper way, the right way, do you think Pharaoh would have kept him as his steward or as his slave? He probably wouldn't. He probably would have had him removed from that position. But he did a good job, amen, and he did it as unto the Lord. And God has given us all a work to do. Now we're getting into faithfulness here. God has given every one of us a work to do. Well, wait a minute. Let me think here. And I think the Pastor Fraser said it this morning. People make the comment, well, I'm not doing anything for God. Be faithful. That's something that you can do to God. Wherever God has placed you, whatever position you hold, be faithful there. Well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. And so I guess I'm really not needed around here. I guess my job is just to fill the pew, to be in that seat. Well, if you feel that's all that God has called you to do, then be faithful. Be there every time the church doors open. Be in that seat and make yourself available to God. But through the pastor, here I am. Anything you need, I'm here at your disposal. I mean, don't be afraid to call me day or night. Anything that you need, you just let me know and I'll be here to help you. Okay, so God has given us all a work to do. And somebody that says, God hasn't called me to do anything, you're sadly mistaken. God has commissioned all of us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's people in here, of all of us that are in here today, I can guarantee you there's some people that I know that nobody else in here knows. And I can guarantee you that there's some people that you know that nobody else in here knows. So you say you have no responsibility? You have a responsibility to reach those people for Jesus. Amen. It's just not accident that you know the people that you know, the ones that come across your path. Amen. It's because God has given us a work to do. And that's the most basic work that He has given every one of us to do. And He wants us to be faithful in that, in sharing the gospel. And in this time and day that we're living, what an opportunity that we have to share the gospel with all that's happening over in the Middle East and the blockade that was going on with Israel, and I believe it was Greece. The economy of Greece collapsed, and just a few days ago here, up in Canada, and it was felt into this area, there was an earthquake, and all the economic things that are going on in this country, it's got people nervous. It has them by the tail. They don't know what to say, do, or think. What an opportunity it is for us to talk about that hope that lies within us, to share the gospel with them. I mean, you can just simply say to them, hey, none of this has taken me by surprise, because the Word of God, it's all in the Word of God, and it's happening just like God said it was going to happen. And then you can give them some encouragement and say, and there is nothing that's going to happen that God doesn't have under His control. But these things, it gets people's attention. And I mean, we could go on for hours about all that's going on in this world. But we need to be faithful to God. Some are called to be pastors. They need to be faithful. Pastor Eastman, I grew up, was raised in that church, and then we left for a time and did mission work, but we're back there now. And I mean, what would you think? Come Sunday, we're probably going to be here this Sunday, but after camp, sir, we go back to your church. How many, and don't answer this out loud, okay? How many of you, when it comes Sunday morning, you're getting ready to go to church, you think, well, I wonder if the pastor's going to be there today. I wonder if he's going to make it today. Boy, I hope he does. Now, if the pastor's away in revival meeting or some strange appointment or something calls him away, we all understand that and forgive them for that. But pastors are faithful. They're there. And do you think that your pastor feels like getting out of bed every Sunday morning and getting himself all dressed up and ready and coming in there and looking at all of you? Do you really think he looks forward to that every Sunday? Every Wednesday, whatever it is, I mean, they're human too. They're human too. Amen, they're human too, but they're faithful. And who are they being faithful to? The congregation? No, they're being faithful to God because God has called them to do that. You can take a Sunday school teacher. You know, if God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher and the pastor has appointed you to that position, you need to be there every Sunday. Every Sunday you need to be there. You need to be there every Sunday. Your pastor's not worrying and saying, and the phone rings, well, before he even answers it, I know who this is. They ain't going to be there tomorrow. No, we don't want to be a Sunday school teacher like that. We're being faithful. Faithful to the pastor, to the church? No, being faithful to God, because God has put you in that position. Do you think a pastor appoints somebody to be a Sunday school teacher? I mean, he just, all of a sudden, your name comes across his mind, and he's like, yeah, I think they give some prayer to that. They give some consideration to it. They just don't do it on a whim. They feel directed by God that you're the one, and you feel that God has spoken to them, and you accept that position. You need to be faithful to it. We're talking about some things that, for some reason, we look at as being more important. But whatever it is that God has called you to do, we are His servants. And you need to give it 110%. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be, I mean, in God's house, there's so many things that need done that if one person had to do it all, they would wear themselves out. Maybe your job is to make sure that the church door is open. Do you know what a blessing that is to a pastor if he doesn't have to even be concerned that, boy, when I get there, I hope the church door is open. The pastor can just come in if he wants to, 10 minutes before the service, and he knows that that door has probably been open for a half an hour or 20 minutes already. Why? Somebody else is doing that, but they're being faithful to the pastor, to the church? No, they're being faithful to God. Amen, because you're going to reap results of whatever goes on in that service, the souls that are touched by God, the individual that does that, because God wants us to be faithful in whatever it is that God has called us to do. And one of my favorite sayings is, and a lot of people, when it comes to favorite sayings, they'll grab a scripture out of the Bible or something. But I like this one. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. If you're going to take any effort and energy to do anything, you might as well do it right. Why do it haphazardly and half-hearted? You need to put your all into whatever you're doing. And so whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it 100%. Do it 100% if it's just passing out the songbooks at church. Be faithful. Be right there. I'll just talk a little bit here. Amen. Pastor can straighten me out later, but I know he won't have to. In Kane right now, we have Brother Emil Johnson. He's been an usher there probably since the church started. Before I can even remember, pastor's in agreement, shaking his head, yeah. Well, Brother Johnson's been having health problems lately, and he's in a personal care home now, and some Sunday mornings, I was calling him pastor. It's about that important of a job, but Brother Emil Johnson is not there. I lead the singing on Sunday morning. Get all ready after Sunday school. You know, everything's ready. And we go and, oh, nobody's passed the songbooks out. We're missing Brother Johnson because of health. Sometimes he can't be there. That's a very important job. No, now we got to stop. Oh, wait a minute. We're ready to go. Somebody grab them books. Let's get them out. And maybe the pastor, if you're here from Kane, maybe he'll appoint that job to you when Brother Johnson's not there and think, who does he think I am? I'm anointed by God. You know, I want to win souls for Jesus, and he's asking me to pass out songbooks? I don't think so. But, you know, reluctantly we'll say, okay, pastor. No, we don't need to be like that. Just wholeheartedly do whatever you can for God. Amen. Put your heart and your soul into it. And there's a story told about a young man, and he applied for a job as a farmhand. And the farmer interviewed him, and the young man made a statement. And he said, you might know where this is going, maybe you've heard this story before. And he told the farmer when he was interviewing him, he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. What would you think if somebody said that to you? You're going to know in a little bit here. You're the farmhand, and you tell the farmer, the one you're working for, I can sleep when the wind blows. The farmer, he was puzzled by that, but he liked this young man, so he went ahead and hired him. And a few days went by, and the farmer and his wife were awakened in the middle of the night by a violent storm that was coming through. And they quickly began to check things out to make sure that everything was secure and in place. They found that the shutters of the farmhouse, so this had to be years ago, shutters used to not just be there for decoration, they used to shut those things, okay? They had been securely fastened, a good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace, and the young man, he slept soundly. The farmer and his wife then went outside and to inspect the property out there. They found that all the farm tools had been put in their original place for safe storage. The barn was locked. The animals were calm. Everything was okay. The farmer then understood the meaning of what the young man said when he said, I can sleep when the wind blows. I can sleep when the wind blows. Why could he sleep when the wind blows? Because that farmhand did his work loyally and faithfully. He knew everything was done right. Let come what may, it's going to be okay. I can sleep when the storm comes and when the wind blows. And he was prepared for that storm when it broke. So when the wind blew, he was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. He could sleep in peace because he took care of business. Okay? There was nothing dramatic about the young man's or about the young boy's preparation for that storm. What did he do? He just faithfully did what he was supposed to do. He did his job correctly. And when the storm came, everything was okay. And so what did that give him? That gave him peace in his heart even when the storm was there. Even when the storm was there. And it can be that way in our life. You do things correctly, let come what may, or let come what may, everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out. But if you're haphazardly serving God, and, you know, faithful over here and not so faithful over here and, you know, up and down and just sort of, you know, I feel good about this. Well, I don't feel too good today and just serving God like that. When a storm of life comes, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time because you're, like they say in the ships, I guess they use that expression, the hatches aren't battened down. Things aren't tidied up. You're not ready for the storm. Are you ready for a storm today? Now, Brother Tom, are you standing here saying there's going to be a storm come to my life? Not necessarily saying that, but I'm old enough to know that storms will come. I've lived long enough to know that. It might be peaceful and good and everything's okay in your life today. But I can tell you this much, there's another storm coming. In what form, in what way, we don't know that. Us that are older have faced things in our life that if we had had our choice, we would have liked to have left those days out of our life and not faced those things. But here we are, we made it, we're still going. Why? We were prepared for those things. We had prepared ourselves because we were faithful to God. And God requires faithfulness at a steward's hand. So God wants us to be faithful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20, you just have to turn over there a little bit. 2 Corinthians, we're in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. And we're going to see what they're saying to us. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What's this saying in essence? God's the boss. God is the one that's in control. You're not in control. Your pastor's not in control. Your wife's not in control. Your husband's not in control. God is in control. Yes, in given circumstances, those names that I just mentioned would be in control in a certain way. But ultimately, the one that is in control and the one that is the boss, the one that's calling the shots is God. It's God. God is in control of your life. And that can give you a peace and a rest down in your heart and in your soul, knowing that it's under God's control. How do I know it's under God's control? Because I have been faithful to God. And if I have been faithful to God, do you think God's going to fail me? He's not going to be faithful to me. He said in His Word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even on to the end. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always be with us. Amen. And He wants us to be faithful to Him. He wants us to be faithful to Him. And what's one of the qualities that you look for in a worker or in a servant? If you're somebody in here that has the privilege of hiring for a place of employment, I mean, that's a job I wouldn't want to do. Wow. Can you imagine the personnel directors in places that have to hire people? Everybody that comes in to be hired, they all look like saints. They just look so good and so nice and man, you can't see through them, and how they can decide who the good one is and who the bad one is, I don't know. But if you were hiring somebody, and a worker or servant, what would you look for? You would look for somebody that was reliable. Do you think it's any different with God? If God has something that needs done in His house, He's probably going to be looking for somebody that's reliable, somebody that's trustworthy. Oh Lord, I want to work for you. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that pastor of mine, he's standing in the way. He won't let me do anything. Do you ever stop and think? Perhaps your pastor's talking to God and for some reason God hasn't brought your name up to the pastor because maybe you're not reliable. Ooh, that hurts. Ooh. You can be 90% reliable, but that 10%, Do you think God would look at that 10% and say, they're not ready yet? They're getting close, but they're not quite there. We've got to be reliable. You've got to be able to be counted upon. You've got to be trustworthy. And here's one. You've got to be loyal. You've got to be loyal. Loyal to what? Loyal to God, but also loyal to your pastor, to your church. How many people get in places of leadership in churches, we'll say leadership, but places of responsibility in churches, and they're not loyal to the pastor? And they get in there and start causing little rifts. You know, hey, the pastor said this, but you know what? He doesn't really know what he's talking about. I'm going to tell you how it really is. There's people that do that kind of thing. God, that's not being faithful to God. Part of being faithful to God is also being loyal to the pastor and to the church, standing with them. Now, if your pastor, I can say this to anybody, if your pastor goes against something that's in the written Word of God, then you have a right to stand up against him in the name of the Lord and take it in, you know, into the right direction and handle it as God would have it handled. But everybody's different. They're going to handle every little situation just a little bit different than what you would. But it's not the end of the world. Amen. You got to be faithful. Stand with your pastor. Don't be there against them, trying to see what's the next dumb thing our pastor's going to do. Well, I can't imagine that people talk like that, but probably some people do. We don't need to be like that. For a common cause, what is it to see souls come to Christ? So if we can get this inner, you know, struggles going on, and I want this job, or I want that job, and why did he give it to that one? I think I should be the youth director. What in the world was the pastor thinking when he appointed them? They don't even have any experience, and oh, they're really going to make a mess of things. Sounds like we need our attitudes adjusted. Amen. We need our attitudes adjusted. Amen. And if we're faithful to God and you really sincerely want to do things for God, God will raise you up in His time. Amen. It'll come to pass. It'll be. God will give you something to do. But what does God require of us in the meantime? Be faithful. Be there. Amen. I think Brother Larson used to say that statement a lot. Be there. Just be there. Be counted on. Be there. When the church doors are open, you're there. You're not one of those ones when the church doors open and it's church time and the pastor looks, oh, they're not here again. You know, that merits a call. Hey, brother, sister, so-and-so, what's going on? I missed you. You weren't there. Then we, you know, whatever is said is said. Amen. Not one of those. It's just like when you go to church, you know the pastor's going to be there. How about turning that? When the pastor comes to church, he knows you're going to be there. He doesn't wonder, well, I hope they're there tonight. They missed about three times now. I hope they make it. How would you like it if your pastor was like that? Missed like three Sundays in a row. You're thinking, well, I'm going to give it one more shot. I hope they're there today. Oh man, he saved himself because he's here today. Amen. Faithfulness. We're being faithful to God. Amen. And we need to be the same way as we would want our pastor to be. So the one quality that God looks for in every one of us, a quality. We're talking about a quality that God looks for in every one of us is faithfulness. Amen. I might say that a bunch of times before we get out of here today, but I want you to get that down in your heart and in your soul. Being faithful to God. There's a lot of ways you can be faithful to God. What about faithful in your giving? Faithful in your tithing? There's a lot of churches that are set up, and it might be a good thing, where the pastor himself does not directly know who is and is not tithers and givers. That might be a good thing because it's easier for the pastor to get up there and teach and preach about it if he doesn't really know. But even if he does know, he has a right to do that. Why? He is watching for your soul. But we need to be faithful. Be faithful to God. I give my tithes and offerings because I'm giving them to God. Yes, I'm giving them to this local assembly. It's helping them keep the doors open. It's helping them spread the gospel. But we need to look at it in the light as I'm giving it to God. I've heard stories over years. There's been people call themselves Christians, don't like something that's going on in the church, I'll tighten the screws down on them. I just won't give my tithes this week. I'll put them in a financial bind. That ain't going to stop God from doing what God wants to do. You're only hurting yourself if you do something like that. We're talking about faithfulness. Be faithful. Amen. Every time you get that check, that money comes in, giving 10% to God. And then Brother John was talking about it a little bit here a few moments ago. Giving an offering also. Amen. Just being faithful to God. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. I'm doing it because God teaches in His Word that it's the good thing to do. And you can talk to scores of people, and I've talked to a lot of people, yet there's quite a few people probably that haven't learned that tithing concept yet. But there's something about that. When you give that tithe, whatever you have left over goes farther than what it would if you had that 100%. Does that make sense? No. It does not make any sense on pencil and paper. It doesn't add up. Because you don't have as much to begin with, how does it? It just does, because God blesses you. Amen. But being faithful, God requires that we be faithful as servants of God. In verse, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 where we started, it's required, okay, chapter 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 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 Well, brother, I've had this Sunday school class for 20 years and I haven't got through to one of those kids yet. Or I've had this youth group for 5 years and they don't pay any attention to me. I'm not getting through to them. You might be surprised who you are getting through to. Amen. Because people do hear the message of God. There's a story told, and I have it here if I can find it somewhere. Okay, I'm looking. There was a story told of a preacher. And he went to a small town, held a revival there. Listen to this. You think it's not important what you do for God? And you think you need to see results right now when you do something for God? And like, well, I don't know why I'm doing this. God doesn't seem to be in it. And he went to this town and he preached. He preached there for 2 weeks. And during that whole 2 weeks, there was only one little girl that responded to the invitation for salvation. She confessed Christ as her Savior. She was baptized. She turned out to be the only convert from that entire two-week meeting. One little girl. That preacher judged that meeting. He thought, what a failure. What a waste of time. 2 weeks of my life here, trying to reach these people. One little girl gave her heart to God. That was just a waste of my time. But you know what? That preacher didn't have the right view of things. And we're talking about us too. We have to have the right view of things. Being faithful to God. We're not keeping the books. We're not keeping the results. Well, I won this many to the Lord. I won that many to the Lord. We don't do that. We are just being faithful to God. That's our job. So listen to the rest of the story. He had the wrong view. That little girl grew up to be a strong, faithful Christian woman. She married a Christian man. Not too much happened so far. Here it goes. Together they produced several sons, of all whom became preachers. That preacher wasted his time those 2 weeks? One convert? I don't think so. He didn't waste his time. When you're being faithful to God, you're not always going to see earth moving, you know, earthquake things happening. You're not going to see things like that. You're going to think, there ain't nothing going on around here. What a dead church. I'm getting out. I'm going to go where it's happening. You better be careful when you say you're going to go where it's happening, because there might be a lot going, but it might not be God. Amen. You better stay where God wants you to be. And so, do you really think that the preacher's effort was a failure? At the time, he thought it was. Now, years had to go by before all this transpired. This little girl grew up, got married, had several sons. They all became preachers. Perhaps the preacher that preached the sermon that this little girl came to Christ, perhaps he was dead by this time and never saw the results of it. Don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher in here today, don't be discouraged. You think, them little tykes, they don't even pay any attention to me. You would be surprised what they hear, even when they're doing other things. I think little children are good at multitasking. You know, fighting, bickering with each other, playing with their toys, yet they can hear what you're saying. And it's sinking into and settling into their hearts because it's the Word of God. Sometimes, what looks to be a very small thing and insignificant turns out to be greater than what we think it could ever be. So you got to remember, being faithful to God. God called me to be this Sunday school teacher to this class. I'm going to do it. I only have 2 students. Maybe one of them will become, because I can't think of another name right now, and it's one we all know, maybe one of them little students will become a Billy Graham. How do you know? Well, you know, it's just, no, we can't think that way. God is looking for faithfulness. God wants faithfulness. And He has entrusted the work of the kingdom into your hands. He's not here today. Jesus ain't here walking on the earth. He's not doing the miracles that He did while He was here upon the earth. They are being done through His name and in His name. Okay? That still goes on because He says, greater things than these shall ye do. So I'm not belittling that. But He's not here doing it. Who is responsible to carry on this work today? You are. Oh, no, not me. It's my pastor. It's my church. No, you are. Don't pass the buck. You are responsible to carry on the work of the Lord. And how does God want to find us? He wants to find you being faithful and carrying that work out that He has called us to do. And also, we must be prepared to see Him on His return so that, maybe we don't like to use this word, so that our Father, our Master, on that day of reckoning can be proud of you. If your day of reckoning were to come right now, today, right now, you draw your last breath, you'd be gone. Would God be proud of you? Or would He say, son, daughter, yeah, you're here, but let me tell you, you could have done so much more for me. All those opportunities that were around you, you just needed to open your eyes and see. I had someone say to me not long ago, I just feel like I'm not doing anything for God. And I said, whoa, back the boat up here. That's a saying I like to use. Let's back this boat up and think about this a little bit. You're not doing anything for God. Well, and we started talking, and it had to be the Lord. We just went through a list of things that this individual could do for God. I'm not doing anything. You're not doing anything? Well, then I said, let's get busy doing something. Well, what am I going to do? And there's this one, there's that one. You could go here, go there, do this, do that. You could be so busy for God, it would overwhelm you. And you will find that if you start making yourself busy in the work of the Lord, God will open other opportunities for you. And pretty soon, you won't have a free minute. But that's okay, because we're here to work for the Master. So God wants us to be faithful to Him and to His work. And so remember, when we started, we said this, the world interprets success differently than what we do. You're not very successful. You're dumb heads. Go do your taxes. I go do mine. The IRS, the H&R Block. Man, the lady, just her eyebrows come up. She looks, you gave that much to the church? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, we are weird. People give that much to a church. You're just poor people, you know, living in this area here. We're living in poverty all the time. They say there's this big economic, I don't know if they want to call it a depression or whatever's going on. We haven't felt much of it here. Why? Because we're living in depression all the time up here in these mountains, so they say. But I don't believe that. Amen. I'm a child of God. But the world thinks we're foolish. But why do I do that? Why am I a tither? First of all, I was taught to do it, and then I got it down into my heart and in my soul that it's the right thing to do, and I don't even give it a second thought. Amen. It's just the money comes in, the tithe goes out. Amen. And God blesses something like that. But the world, they'll interpret success differently, very, very differently. It's going to be more on a what you possess thing. What position do you hold? How much influence do you have in your community? That is what success is in the eyes of the world. And in the eyes of the world, being faithful is not the key to a successful life. But to a Christian, the key to a successful life is being faithful. Being faithful. Being faithful. Be there. Amen, that God can count on you. And if you look at the disciples, talk about being faithful. And you know, we're living this glorious life, and God's going to take us into heaven on chariots of gold with bells ringing and trumpets blowing, and it's all going to be glorious. And you know, we're just going to be taken out of this world and in a whirlwind, and it's all going to be wonderful until we get there. You really think so? Why don't you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's see how some of these people that were faithful to God went. They were faithful to God, and you think, wow, being so faithful to God, how in the world, why in the world did God permit them to go this way? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 36 and 37. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. These men that it's talking about here in people were people that were faithful to God. They were faithful to God, but look at how they suffered in this world. And they did suffer in this world. They suffered. Why? If you read that whole chapter, they suffered because they decided to remain faithful to God. So far, it's cost none of us our lives. How do I know that? Because you're all breathing. I think you are. Some of you are a little sleepy, I can see. Amen. But I think if I come back and jag you, poke you, you'd jump. Okay? But we don't know what our end might be. We're living in the land of the free, home of the brave. Really? Okay? We don't know what might transpire here in this country before the Lord gets us all out of here. There might be some of us that it may come to the point that you may have to give your life for the gospel. Are you willing to do that? Oh, that'll never happen. God will take care of His own. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Tell me about what this writer was writing here. Is he writing a lie in here? Are these men some kind of evil people that weren't faithful to God and God was judging them? No, they were men that were faithful to God, and yet they suffered. They were faithful to God's Word. According to the world standards, back in that time, all of these men that died like that were complete failures. Idiots! Stupid! Dumb! Willing to give their life for this gospel, this Jesus thing? I mean, how silly is that? They couldn't make any sense out of it. In Hebrews 11:38 says, the world was not worthy of them because they were faithful to God. And God had them up on a higher level, definitely, than what the world did. All of these people, they were called failures, but yet they were honored by God. Why? Because they were faithful to their Master. They were faithful clear to the end. They didn't deny the Lord. They stayed true to Him. They were the faithful servants. They were successful, not because of prosperity and wealth and honor, because they didn't have that. Okay? Because they were found faithful of the Lord. And that's the important thing today. I started out by saying that. How does God find you today? Does He find you to be faithful? Can He count on you? You're going to be there when the church doors open. You're going to do whatever you can to advance the kingdom of God. Your tithes is going to be in there. Your offerings is going to be in there. You're faithful in your daily devotion to God. You walk steadfastly before God. You walk uprightly before Him. Amen. God is looking at that. God is looking at today. They were faithful in obeying His Word and doing His work. That's what made them worthy of the death that they died. Simply because they were faithful to God in doing what He said that He wanted them to do. There was an interview one time that was given to Billy Graham. Some of you may have heard of this. The interviewer was fascinated by Reverend Graham's success and asked if he anticipated being given great rewards in heaven for the millions of lives he had impacted through his worldwide ministry. Hey, Billy Graham, when you get there, are you in any anticipation of all the great rewards you're going to receive for all the souls that you've won for God? Billy Graham said that he was not sure of the extent of his own rewards because God's the final judge. We read that today. God's the judge. But he was certain that others would have greater rewards than he would have. What do you mean? How can anybody have a greater reward than what you're having? You've won thousands, millions of people to the Lord, possibly. And he went on to say that there was a faithful elderly woman whom he knows who is right now on her knees praying for her little country church, her family, and her nation. For nearly 80 years, the sweet lady has been faithful to her Lord. She has been constantly praying and reading the Bible daily. To Billy Graham, that lady and many others like her will receive the greatest rewards in heaven. Praying. Are you praying for revival in your community? Done. Through. Done it for years. I've given up on that idea. Why, the deadhead pastor we got ain't going to happen. He won't let anything happen in that church. Ooh, be careful. Be careful. It's the enemy of your soul that wants to cause division and put thoughts like that in your mind. Rebuke it in the name of the Lord. Praying for revival in your church. Praying for revival in your community. God can't move in my church, can He? Is your pastor greater than God? If your pastor really is standing in the way, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, but some people sometimes think pastor stands in the way. Is that pastor greater than God? God can send revival. And a lot of times, the problem comes right back to our own selves. If we'd look in the mirror, we'd say, oh Lord, forgive me, clean me up, you know, give me a clean heart. And so, he believes, that was Billy Graham, that they'll receive the greatest rewards in heaven. And then at the close of the interview, his last words were, Billy Graham said this, and get this, you see, we are not called to be successful, we are called to be faithful. Oh, I'm successful. Pastors can even think that. Wow, got a nice church, good membership, getting a good income from the church, got a good group of people that's working with me. Wow, I've been pretty successful. Okay? It's not measured by that. Okay? We are not called to be successful as Christians. God has called us to be faithful. To be faithful. Leave the results up to Him. He keeps the books. Not the competition thing, you know, I've won this many souls to the Lord. If you keep track of it in a little book somewhere, that's okay. I'm not condemning that. But But we don't have to keep the books. All we have to do is preach the message and stay busy for God. Whenever God gives us a responsibility, we need to accept that and do our best at it. Notice what it says. When God gives us a responsibility, I haven't said this one yet. Maybe some of you have thought about it. Maybe it's cleaning a toilet. Wow. You know? When God gives you that responsibility, do your best at it. Whatever it is, do your best. Anybody like to sit on a dirty toilet? Raise your hand. I don't see no hands in here. If that toilet's clean, you think it just happened? Somebody cleaned it. Somebody had to be faithful to do that. Nothing more disgusting going into a restroom and the trash can's overflowing. Okay? That trash can's not overflowing. Somebody's keeping it emptied. Dirty floors? Somebody's keeping them clean. Well, that's not for me. God's called. Ooh, you be careful. You may be surprised what God will call you to do. God's looking for faithfulness. God's not looking for egos and personalities and, you know, boy, you got charisma. God's definitely going to call you to do something important. God looks at the heart. He's looking for faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful today. And so when God gives you a responsibility, accept it, do your best at it. How much better it is with humility if your pastor were to come to you, I've been in prayer, and I really feel by the Spirit of God that you should be the director of our youth here. How much better would it be in humility to say, Pastor, I'm not worthy of that. I just don't know how to handle the youth. I don't know where to begin, what I would do, but yeah, there's been a desire in my heart to work with the young people, but I just don't know where to begin. That'd be a much better attitude to have than if the pastor comes to you and say, Pastor, I was wondering how long it would take you to hear from God because, boy, he sure told me that years ago. No. Amen, no. But there's people like that. Just be faithful. Be humble. If the pastor were to come to you and say, we need somebody to clean the restrooms, you know what? You should be humbled by that. Say, Pastor, thank you for asking me. I'll gladly do that because everything I do, I'm doing in the name of the Lord. I'm doing it for God. Boy, if the pastor comes and wants you to lead singing or, you know, do some other things, oh yeah, but if he would ask me to, you know, make sure that cans are empty in the restrooms and that the paper towel holders are filled, and I mean, there's a lot of other jobs we could find in a church. Lord, you know, Pastor, God didn't call me to do that. No, we need to be faithful whatever God has called us to do. We need to treat every small task as important, and we can demonstrate that God can depend on us. God can depend on you. If the pastor asks you to be on the snow removal committee, I'll do it. He can count on me. And being on snow removal is not easy. Cutting the grass, let me tell you, in case you haven't figured this out, being one that cuts the grass is a lot easier than one that moves the snow because you don't know when it's going to snow. You don't know how often you're going to have to be there moving that snow. Grass, you have a pretty good idea how often you're going to have to cut that. So, word of advice, if your pastor ever asks you, take the grass. It's a lot easier to do. Okay? Because I've been on both, and that snow can get to you sometimes. But anyways, accepting it, saying, I'm honored. I will gladly do that. And mean it from your heart and do it. God will see that. And in due time, you know what? God will elevate you if God desires it to be that way. God looks at the heart. God's concerned about the heart. He doesn't like your, I don't even know if it's a word, your egoism, your attitude. God doesn't want that. He's looking at your heart, the real you, deep down inside. One day, we're going to hear from the Lord. And I hope that when I stand before God and that when you stand before God, that He can say these words. And this is in closing this afternoon. Well done, good and faithful servant. Huh? Doesn't the Word of God say those words, that that's exactly what He's going to say to those that are going to go into heaven? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so today, I trust that this has done something for you, that you have listened to this, and you will strive to be more faithful. Not seeking for position, not seeking for popularity. I want to do this, this, and this, but this, this, and this. Don't bother with me. If the pastor asks you, if God asks you, whatever the Lord asks of you, just be willing. Do you think God's going to ask you to do something He doesn't equip you to do, that you don't have the ability to do? God knows you. Amen. And God is concerned about your heart, and God wants faithfulness from you, and He wants faithfulness from me. Yes, He wants us to win souls to Him. He wants us to witness. It doesn't mean we shouldn't witness, but He's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Always there. A pillar in the church. Always there. Faithful. Faithful. You know, if you're in need and a serious condition arises and you need prayer, who do you go to? Do you go to somebody that you're not even sure if they're going to be in church today or not? You're going to think about the, you might not realize this, but you're going to think about the faithful person, one that's there. You can count on them. You know if you say to them, hey, I have need of prayer. You might not even be able to wait till church. You might have to call them on the phone. I have need of prayer. Can you take this to the Lord in prayer and help me pray about this matter? You're going to call somebody that you know to be faithful. So to say faithfulness doesn't matter, it matters a whole lot, and it matters in the eyes of God. Let's stand to our feet this afternoon. And just in closing, right there where you're standing, make it a prayer to God. I know this isn't the kind of message that makes you jump and shout. It's not one that makes you feel good by any means, but it's one that will make you feel good if you put it into practice. Pray to God, Lord, help me to be more faithful. Or you might pray, Lord, help me to be faithful. You know your condition. You know yourself, and I know myself. We all have room for improvement. God, to be faithful to you. God, you're looking for faithfulness. God, for one day we're going to stand before you, Lord, and the whole thing we're striving for, God, is we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, that we be faithful. Speak to our hearts, O God. Show us, Jesus, where we can be more faithful to you, God. Perhaps there's some unfaithfulness in our hearts, God, that we're not faithful to you. We're not faithful to your word, God. Lord, we're, at times we actually deny you, God, and we go in the opposite direction, Lord. Help us, Jesus, Lord, to have pure hearts and pure minds, God, to be faithful to you. Each one, take that moment this afternoon and do that. Amen. You've got to make that commitment to the Lord. God, I want to be more faithful. And if you make that prayer to God and you do it with sincerity, God is going to help you and He's going to show you where you can be more faithful. God, help me to be faithful. Perhaps someone will need to ask God for some forgiveness. Amen. Maybe you've said sharp words and maybe God's dealing with your heart today. Lord, help me, Jesus. God, forgive me for my arrogance. God, I've been arrogant. Lord, I said I would do thus and so, and there's certain things that I refuse to do. God, take that out of my heart, God. Let me be a willing servant, God, to do anything. God, it would be an honor to do anything for you. God, the most basic thing that there is to something that we look at as important for you, God, it's all the same for you, God. There's nothing that's less important than anything else, but God, we tend to think that way. Lord, help me to get things in a right perspective, God, and to be faithful to you, God, and to do it with joy from my heart, God, and from our souls. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that we serve you with gladness today, Father. God, in the name of the Lord, sealing that up in your heart today. Seal that up in your heart today. God, I commit myself to you. God, I want to be that faithful servant. God, I want to be, I don't care what anybody else thinks about me, God. I want you to look at me as being a faithful one. God, you can count on me. You know I'm going to be there. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And